Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
How many people have been enjoying this series, It's a Wonderful Life? It is Pastor Neil's favourite movie, as we all know about that. What is it about your favourite movie, though, that it doesn't matter how many times you watch it, you always enjoy it? And actually, the more times that you watch it, you actually appreciate things that maybe you didn't realise all the previous times. Have you got to a point where you actually know the words that they are going to say before they even say it? It's so predictable, but yet so enjoyable. And I guess this morning, when we're talking about It's a Wonderful Life, our relationship with Jesus is a little bit like that. Now, maybe you're just new on the journey, or maybe you've been on the journey a long time, but I'll tell you something. When you get to know Jesus, the more and more you get to know him, you begin to realize and appreciate things that maybe you didn't realize before. Fresh revelation, things that you maybe took for granted before. The more time you spend with him, the more you appreciate Jesus. It's a wonderful life this morning because we can have a real, living, authentic relationship with Jesus. A wonderful life is not about being religious. It's not about attending a church. It's about having a daily experience with Jesus Christ. Do you know this morning that if you're a believer, that Jesus speaks to you? That Jesus listens to you when you talk to him? That he goes through every day in your life? When you're going through a challenge, he's there for you. He's there to listen to your cry in a time of desperation. He's that peace that comes and fills your heart when things are maybe not going so well. And he's the one who puts the smile on your face when you're overcome with joy. That's the wonderful life, friend. The wonderful life is that Jesus is in your life. Jesus said these words, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." He came to give us an abundant life. Not a mediocre life, not just a getting by life, not a poor life, but a full life. And he came not to give us that on a Sunday, but every single day. But equally in that verse, we hear Jesus give a warning that there's a thief. And that thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Hey, we've heard over these last few weeks about George Bailey, and Neil shared his favorite quote that George Bailey wasn't sick. It was worse than that. He was discouraged. And our enemy has a few different forms and tactics that he tries to pull us away from the intimacy and the closeness of our relationship with Jesus. And one of the ways he does that is discouragement. Another way that he does this is, as we heard last week, is disappointment. He'll get us to become so disappointed that we may lose out on what all God has for us. But the third thing that he does is distraction. If he can cause us to drift and be distracted and pull us away from the wonderful life of an intimate relationship with Jesus, of being in his presence, knowing his nearness, he'll do all that he can to distract us from that. Last month in Stevenage, there was a thief who was approaching elderly people as they went to the ATM. And as the people were going to the ATM to take money out of their account, as they began to take the card out of their purse or wallet, he would approach them and say, "Hey, I'm sorry, there's a bit of a problem with this machine. Let me help you to withdraw the money from your account." And as they got their card out, he would take it from them and begin to clean it and distract them. And as they were distracted, he would pocket their card and swap it for a fake card and give that back to them, and they would then put that into the machine and then say, "Look, hey, now if you put your PIN number in, then we'll see if it works." So he's watching them put the PIN number in, and sure enough, it didn't work. The thief now has the card and he has their PIN number. He says, "You guys, you need to go inside to the bank, talk to them, and they'll maybe be able to help you." Well, he went to the next ATM and withdrew as much money as he could. You know, our thief, our enemy, uses the same tactics over and over again. And one of the old school tricks that he uses is distraction. If he can cause you to be so busy and so focused on many things, even lesser things and fill your life with all that stuff and leave no time for the best thing. This morning, I want to talk to you about dealing with distraction. Because maybe for many people today, maybe your downfall is not going to be a horrendous, terrible sin, but maybe it will be distraction. Maybe it'll be the enemy just getting our focus away from where it should be onto all the many other things. And I think God knew all about this because the Bible tells us a lot about seeking God, about fixing our eyes, about focusing on Jesus. Turn with me in your Bible, please, to Luke's Gospel. It's in the New Testament. It's the after Matthew and Mark, and then we get to Luke. And we're going to read together a story found in chapter 10. In this story, we encounter a family who were friends with Jesus. See, Jesus has always been about relationship. He didn't come to bring more religion. He came to bring a relationship to us. And all throughout his life, we see him doing life with so many people. The disciples, he met with them every single day. They did life together. But he also had followers. He had friends. And he had a family of friends. He had Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. These were a family who were dear to Jesus, and they all knew Jesus in a different way. Mary, the Bible tells us, worshipped Jesus. He was a worshipper, whilst Martha worked for Jesus. And Lazarus, as we've already heard today, woke up. He was the one who was dead for 4 days in the tomb, and Jesus called his name and told him to come forth, and he woke up. These all knew him in a different way, but they all had a relationship with Jesus. Read with me from verse 48 this morning. Sorry, 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he had said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." I wonder this morning, do you feel distracted? Do you feel burdened by the many things in life? Do you feel busy? Are there any family people here, people who are working, juggling family life and everything that's going on, and you're going from drop-off to pick-up to next club to everything that's going on in life? Life can get busy. With all the preparations and everything that need to get done, there are many things in our life, but we must be careful that we do not allow the many things to get in the way of the best thing. In this passage, we see an open home. Martha opened her home and welcomed Jesus, but we also see an open heart. Mary is the one who's sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to what he has to say. Jesus does not want us just to open our homes. He wants us to open our hearts. In fact, he wants to make his home in your heart. And what was the difference between Mary and Martha? In this occasion, it was Mary was listening to Jesus. This morning, are you listening to Jesus? Or are you listening to the many other voices that are in this world that are all trying to get your attention? There's a constant battle in our life between the lesser things and the best thing. There are so much things that vie for your attention every single day. And in this story, we've actually got a picture here of the difference between religion and the difference between a relationship. Martha in this story is busy working. She's busy trying to prepare for the guest of honor, Jesus, whilst Mary is the one who is sitting at the feet of Jesus. You see, religion would tell you that you need to earn God's approval, that you need to be busy at being good, that you need to be busy at getting better, that you need to be busy at doing all the things to try and earn God's approval, whilst a relationship with Jesus says that you're already good enough. Not good enough to earn your salvation, but good enough for God to send his one and only Son to die upon a cross, to take your place so that you can receive salvation. That's how good you are this morning. Religion will always tell you you're never going to be good enough. You're never going to make it. Whilst Jesus says, you are good enough. And you are good enough for me to lay down my life so that I could know you in an intimate and authentic way. There's a continual battle in our lives between the lesser things and the best thing. There's that ongoing battle vying for your time, your energy, and your attention. Every day we face distractions. Probably the biggest distraction for me personally is my smartphone. Every week I get an update telling me how much time I have spent on the different apps on my phone. It tells me how much screen time that I've had, whether that's on emails, on social media, on news sites. And I'll be honest, most weeks it's a bit of a wake-up call thinking, wow, where did all those minutes and hours go? Was that time profitable to me? Now, a lot of the time that can be messaging friends and having good times with each other. But also, I've got to be careful that I don't allow that distraction to take away from the best thing. I wonder if I was to take a screen time of my time with Jesus this week, I wonder what it would look like. I wonder if you were to do that this morning. If you were to remind yourself of how long I spent with Jesus this week. I wonder if we get a wake-up call that time as well. But Jesus wants to spend time with you. And there's this continual battle in our lives where all these things are important, are not unimportant, but they're important for sure. But there is something in our life that is the best thing, that nothing else should take its place. It's that moment when we can meet with Jesus and he speaks with us. He talks to us. He tells us who we are. It's that moment when we need reviving, he revives us. That moment when we're discouraged, that he comes and he fills our hearts with faith and expectation. It's that moment when we need an answer and we can call upon him. It can't be just a Sunday, friend. It's got to be every day of our lives. Let me tell you about a time when I felt that I was distracted. I was coming to the end of my time at Bible College, and I'd studied for almost 4 years and obviously went with the expectation that I'd be going into ministry of some sort. And I was at this crossroads where I'd been so busy with all the things that needed to be done for my degree, working on dissertations and exams and all that stuff, and busy in life and making sure all that was done well. So busy, and now the worry of everybody asking, so what are you going to do next? Where are you going to? Is there a church that you're going to be attending? Is there somewhere you're going to serve? Are you going on the mission field? And to be honest, I was so focused on what I was doing and studying that I hadn't really been that burdened until probably Easter time, when the days were getting closer to the end of this course. And I was beginning to ask myself, okay, God, well, what is the next step? What is happening? And it probably all came to a head one day when I'd left college and went down into Glasgow City Centre, went into Starbucks for a coffee, and just I felt the weight of the world fell upon me as I sat in that chair. And all these thoughts began to go through my head. Oh my, 4 years, and what's going to happen next? You've not a clue what you're doing. Began to doubt myself, began to wonder, oh, is this really what I was supposed to do with my life? Is this what it's all about? Have I made the right choice here? Did a year in Chicago and 3 years in Glasgow and all those hours of studying, was that what I was meant to do? And I'll be honest, all the concerns and worries of the world began to fill my mind at this point. And I'll be honest, I was discouraged. I was probably feeling a little bit disappointed, but I'm sure I was distracted because I started thinking about me and only about what I could do and what was going to happen. I began to take God out of the equation. I was trying to work things in my own strength, and I was distracted. And as I sat in that chair, I got up and I began to walk along the streets, pretty discouraged, disappointed, and distracted. You know, when you allow the lesser things of this world to take the place of the best thing, like Martha, you'll become worried and upset very quickly. When you bear a burden that you are not supposed to bear, and you forsake something which is a privilege and an honor, very quickly you'll become worried and upset. I wonder this morning, are you feeling busy, distracted, and burdened in life? So how do we deal with distraction? Well, can you imagine Martha busy preparing for Jesus? Remember, Jesus has just appeared. This was an unexpected visitation. And As pastors, we don't often do an unexpected visit, but you know, there's always a possibility that one day you might get a knock at the door and we'll ask if the kettle's on and we'll be ready to come in. And come on, you've all had moments when someone's appeared at your door, unexpected, and come on, you start to rush around the house, you start to hide things, put the washing away, make sure nobody sees that. Has someone checked the toilet? Is the toilet clean? No, nobody does these things, everybody? Martha's busy making all these preparations, and of course all the customs at this time, make sure everybody's clean, everybody's ready, everybody feels at home, and she'll be, I just imagine, in the kitchen, working with all the pots and pans, trying to rustle up something quickly, and she's busy trying to prepare, and as she's preparing, she's trying to keep one ear on what's going on through in the other part of the home. And she can just make out it's Jesus who's talking, but can't quite hear what's being said. And she nips in and she's trying to make sure everybody's okay. And then she notices that Mary's sitting down. And then she keeps on going and trying the next thing. And goes back into the kitchen and trying to prepare what's going on. And begins to think, wait a minute, why am I doing all this work? And Mary is sitting through the house listening to Jesus. Really, she should be helping me. You see, Martha had got herself into this state where she was so focused on the lesser things and so busy focusing on the preparations that she couldn't hear what was going on with Jesus. She wanted to hear, but she had allowed all these other things, all these other noises, all these other voices to hinder her from hearing what Jesus was saying. Can you hear Jesus this morning? This morning, to help us to illustrate this, I've asked Matthew James Morgan to come and help me. Come on, put your hands together for Matthew James. Come on, Matthew. Look at this fine young man. Fine young working man. Eh? Working man. Yeah, I think we should celebrate that. A working man. Matthew James. Everybody knows Matthew James is Matthew and Jennifer's son. And he's working. He's got a job. Are you in a relationship?
No.
No, and he's single. Okay, so that's another good thing. So you're working, you're available, and are you glad that I'm asking you these questions?
Don't mind.
Don't mind? Oh-ho! Okay, do we have your mobile number? Should we put that on the screen? Matthew James is going to help me today. You have brought with you these headphones. Now tell me, these are quite special headphones, aren't they? Tell me about these headphones.
They're soundproof.
They're soundproof. Okay, so they're noise-canceling headphones. Okay, well, I think you're going to need to prove that to us this morning. So can you put them on? Yep. Doesn't he look nice? Doesn't he look well? Okay, so can you hear me just now? A little bit. Just a little bit. Okay, well, we'll do a test. I think we need to prove that. Okay. Okay, your dad says you can drive the car home. Oh, he knew that. Okay, well, maybe go further. I think he maybe does, huh? Okay, your Granny Anna's favorite. He sure is. Okay, so you can't. So you can still hear me, but could you hear me clearly? What if I did this? Imagine I'm in another room. Can you still hear me? No, you can't really hear me. Okay. But these can do something else, can't they? You can listen to music. Okay, so let's pick an appropriate song now. This is a pastoral moment. Let's check what's on his Spotify. Kanye West, that's okay now. Yep, that's good. That's allowed. Okay, so we've got some Hillsong. Okay, what's it called? Who You Say I Am. We sing that in church, don't we? I am who you say I am. So do you need to plug it in? Plug it in? No. It's Bluetooth. Ah, okay. So are you listening to it just now? You are. Okay. Can you hear what I'm saying now? Are you a good lip reader? Okay, maybe I should turn my back. Can you hear what I'm saying now? Can you hear? Can you hear? So you can't hear anything other than what's going on in your ears right now. Can you keep on listening? And can you sing what's going on in your ears right now?
I can't hear anything.
You can't hear anything?
Nothing. All you can hear is what's going on in here.
All the other outside noises have been removed, and all you can hear is, I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. He's nodding his head, so I think that's a good sign. Can I keep these? Can I keep these? Just for just now. Okay. Put your hands together and say thank you to Matthew James. I'm going to hold on to these. You can turn the song off, but I think some of us need to get a pair of these. Noise-canceling earphones. Because sometimes our lives become so noisy with everything else that's going on. Noises of negativity. Noises of limitation. Noises that say that you're not good enough. Noises that says that you're too busy. Noises that say that you're never going to make it. All these noises are trying to get your attention. If we're not careful, our mind is filled with the noises that are not for us, the noises that are against us. But each of us can choose what we're going to listen to. We need to get to that place where we decide that we're not going to listen to the outside noise. We're going to listen to what God says. We're going to listen to songs like that which declare good things, which make a bold declaration about what God says. See, some of us, I believe this morning, need to start listening to what God says about you. Know what you feel about yourself. Know what other people have said about you. We need to cancel the noise. So maybe this morning, we need to get these earphones and put them on our heads. And I want to ask you today, can you hear what Jesus is saying? Cancel the noise. Jesus says these words when he quotes this line we've mentioned so many times. I have come that you may have life and life to the full. He also said this later. He said, I am the good shepherd. And he said these words, that my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. If you're a believer this morning, can you hear Jesus? Or has all the outside noise and all the distractions stopped you from hearing what Jesus wants to say to you today? Mary, the Bible tells us, chose what was better, and we can choose what is better. Jesus does this incredible thing that he begins to simplify life down to a few things, but then goes even further and narrows it down to one thing, the best thing, and tells us that Mary had chosen what was best. Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to what he was saying. Not thinking about the preparations, not thinking about what other people were doing, but just so fixed on what Jesus was saying. Friends, in the busyness of our world and everything that is trying to get your attention, can I say to you today, the best thing that you can do is make sure that you have meaningful, quality time when you're not listening to the news, you're not listening to social media, you're not listening to anyone else, you're listening to what Jesus has to say. That's why it's a wonderful life. If you know Jesus in a way that you can hear him when he talks to you, oh, I'll tell you, it's a wonderful life. Doesn't matter what you're going through, what you're facing, what the challenge is or the obstacle, it's a wonderful life. There are few things which are needed. You know, the great thing is, when you focus on the best thing, when you marvel on the best thing, when you marvel on Jesus, then you can begin to talk to him about the many things. Once you've got that right, the order's important. Once you've understood, yes, Jesus, you are Lord, you are central, you are everything. And then you can begin to say, hey, God, you know all that's going on right now. Can you help me with this? Can you help me? That's why it's a wonderful life, friends. We're not left to go through this life by ourselves. He is with us every step of the way. So I want to encourage you today. We've heard about the three D's that the enemy uses: discouragement, disappointment, and distraction. But I want to give you something this morning to help you with meaningful time with God. I think that's one of the key things for every single believer to have a wonderful life in the good times and the bad times, is having that meaningful time. Now, one of the ways that I realize that I'm distracted is when my time with God isn't meaningful, it's more of a chore. It's more of a, I better do this, or I'll fall behind on my plan. I better do this, or. I better do this, or. And I know I've been a bit too busy today. I didn't plan my day out well enough. I need to make some changes. And I want to encourage you today to make a plan and find a place, set a time so that you can have that time with God. The three D's I want to give you today is, firstly, the first one is desire. You've got to want to spend time with Jesus. If you don't want to spend time with Jesus, you're never going to spend time with him. So desire, and I would hope that everyone has got that desire in their heart today. Secondly, it's discipline. You got to make it happen. You got to find a way. You got to set a time, find a place, and make it happen. And thirdly, it's devotion. You got to keep on doing that. Make it part of your life, that this is a life filled with devotion. And sometimes we need to take moments where we mix it up a little bit. We do something a little bit different. And I'm looking at people this morning. Some of you have been Christians a lot longer than I have. And you'll be in a routine and you'll be in a way that works for you, I'm sure. But one of the most refreshing things that I find is when I begin to do something a little bit different. Whether that's a different plan or a different prayer thing or something, it just brings it afresh once again. It's like watching that movie over and over again, enjoying it every time, but yet still finding something different and appreciating something different. A quality time with Jesus. You see, our enemy wants to distract us today. Our enemy wants to distract us and keep us from those moments where we meet with Jesus. The Bible tells us that Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And our enemy wants to keep you away from sitting with Jesus. He will do anything that he can to fill your mind or fill your life to keep you away from this chair. Or you'll walk around it. Really should spend some time with Jesus today. I really should listen to that podcast or that YouTube worship song. I must make time to pray today. I must do something, but something takes your attention and you go away and you end up doing that. Or maybe you actually become like me in Sauchie Hall Street in Glasgow on that day. As I was walking up and down and up and down, I'm walking on Sauchie Hall Street and I'm thinking of all the things I thought would have been but haven't been yet. I'm beginning to get disappointed thinking, Lord, I thought you'd said. I thought this is what we were supposed to be doing. And I'm walking and walking until eventually, I thought, I need to take a seat. And in the middle of Sauchie Hall Street, I sat on a bench. And with hundreds, if not thousands, of people walking past me, and all the noises of taxis and the Glasgow patter and everything that's going on, I began to cancel the noise. I wasn't interested in what was going past me. I wasn't interested in what people were saying. I was only interested in what Jesus was saying. And as I sat there, I had my earphones on. They weren't as good as Matthew James's earphones. They weren't as grand as these. But I had my earphones, and I began to listen to some worship music. And there were thousands of people around me that day. They had not a clue what was going on inside of me. But I began to listen and ask him, God, what's going on? What's happening? And looking back now, I realize that he was testing my heart, that he was looking for a fresh surrender. I'd surrendered previously and said, yep, I'll go. But at the end of this journey, he was just testing to see, are you still willing to go? I didn't know where that would be, but I had to get to that place again where I just was at the feet of Jesus and said, wherever you send me, I'll go. Whatever it looks like, I'm willing to go. I remember the rest of that day, I left that bench and I walked home to my flat, and probably, to be honest, I was still sort of shaken by all this and not really sure what was going on, but I knew God was doing something within me. I didn't know this, but at the same time, Neil and the team were looking for someone to come to Apex Church. Neil, I think from memory, thought that I still had a few years to go. Didn't realize that I was coming to the end of my journey. I was disappointed. I thought that maybe there wasn't an opportunity for me. But Neil phoned my friend Ben Ritchie, asked, inquired if I what was going on in my life, was surprised to learn that I was almost finished and was looking for a church. All along there was an appointment waiting for me, but I was walking up and down, Sockey Hall Street, wondering what was going on. And you know what, a choice. I could have kept on walking that morning. I could have kept on walking and just thought, it's all over, it's finished. But I'm glad I took that opportunity to sit with Jesus and not listen to my thoughts, not listen to my fears, not listen to what everything else was going on, not allowing the lesser things to get in place of the best thing. I wonder this morning, when was the last time you sat with Jesus? When was the last time you took that moment just to be in His presence, to shut out everything else and just listen to Him? It's a wonderful life because you can have a relationship with Jesus. This morning, I want to give you an opportunity today that you've maybe never taken before. And it's to begin a relationship with Jesus, which will lead to a wonderful life. I wonder, do you feel burdened by the many things? Do you feel like life has gotten on top of you and you are burdened? Maybe there's things that have happened in your life that you regret. Maybe there's things that you have been carrying, and maybe there's a heaviness in your heart today. Come on, if we're being honest this morning, we've all done things that we wish we could never have done. There's all things within us that we regret, and the Bible uses a word called sin to describe that. And that's what has separated us from that relationship with God. And that's the difference between those who are living the wonderful life and those that are just going through the motions of this life and wherever it will take us. But I wonder, are you here today and you say, Daniel, I would like to begin a relationship with Jesus. I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm not asking you to become religious. I'm asking if you want to start a relationship with Jesus Christ. And this morning, we have had a credible privilege today that we sit with Jesus at the communion table. And at the table of communion, we are confronted with two things. We're confronted with the bread, which represents the body of Jesus, but also with a cup, which represents the blood of Jesus. And there was a table at the end of Jesus' life. It's called the table where they had the Last Supper. And Jesus is sitting at the table surrounded by His disciples and His friends. The people that He loved, the people that He did life with, the people that He poured His whole life into. He sat with them at a table and He says, this is how you're going to remember me. This is my body. This bread represents my body. A body that will, in a few hours, hang upon a cross and take your place and take your punishment for your sin. And then He lifts the cup and He says, this is the cup of the new covenant. And it represents the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, which speaks life. That which is dead is now alive. That we're dead in our sins, but we're now alive because the blood of Jesus has been applied to our lives. And it represents a new covenant, which means that everyone now has the opportunity to be part of God's family. So I wonder this morning, before we come to communion, you're here today and you've never made that decision to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to give you that opportunity right now. In a moment, I'm going to ask just that you raise your hand so that I can see it. And then we're all going to pray a prayer together. So as every head is bowed and eye is closed, as we respect this moment. Come on, maybe you need to cancel the noise. You need to just focus just now, you and Jesus. Jesus is here and He says that I love you. I've always loved you. I've loved you so much that I've given everything. In fact, I died so that I could live with you, so that you could enjoy the wonderful life, that abundant life here today, an eternal life forevermore. You're here today and you hear the words of Jesus and you say, I want to begin a relationship with Jesus. If that's you, can you just lift your hand just now and I'll see it. I'm looking around all around the ground floor and I'm looking up into our balcony as well. You're here and you say, Daniel, I want to begin a relationship with Jesus.